Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we recognize your coming. And Father, we wait for your second coming. Father, we thank you for this season. We thank you that we as a church body can come and remember that you are coming. And so, Father, we ask that you would bless this time. And we ask, Father, that through your word, through your message, that more would know of your coming and come and believe in you. So, Father, we ask this on your message as well. We ask that you would bless this time and that your word would be heard. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 through 16, we get back to our Sermon on the Mount series with this week's message, His Salt and His Light. Now, we continue hearing the message of Jesus, the message to the multitude about kingdom life. Now, this message is to those who would believe and who would choose to follow Jesus as their king. Jesus continues with an instruction to those who would follow him, to those who would serve him, that they would influence the world. The commands and the Beatitudes that we studied were not instructions for private use, for personal living, for just that use to be among Christians. The Beatitudes were to be lived out as a witness to the world everywhere that you went. Those that choose to follow Jesus are God's only witness to the world. The only way that the world will ever hear about God and the truth of his word is through the living testimony of Christians. Now, the teachings of Jesus are for believers. And without Christ, it is impossible to follow or understand God's truth. So, number one on your outline, the blessings of the Beatitudes lead to great responsibilities. The blessings of the Beatitudes lead to great responsibilities. The blessings of heaven in the Beatitude, the blessings of comfort, inheriting the earth, being filled with righteousness, being given mercy, being called children of God, being given a heavenly reward, brings about great responsibility. And that responsibility is to be his salt and his light in the world. So let me read to you Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Number two on your outline, Jesus defines the responsibility of his followers to influence the world. And he starts to talk about it here, and he relates it to salt, and he relates it to light. And so you have to go back to what we've already learned when we started this, which is the Beatitudes. He gives you a message to change your heart. He is talking to the multitude that have a heart that doesn't match what is allowed to be in his kingdom. And so he gives the Beatitudes to change your heart. Once your heart is changed, the great responsibility starts. And the responsibility is for you to be his salt and his light. In John 17, 15 and 16 in your outline, Jesus said this, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." In John 17, 18, "As you sent me," Jesus is saying, "as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." And then 1 John 2:15, "Do not love the world nor the things in the world." Number three on your outline, God's word is clear that Christ followers are to influence the world, but are not to be influenced by the world. It's very clear. We are to influence the world, but not to be influenced by the world. We saw in the Beatitudes that not only will our hearts change, but as we change, we are a witness to the world. Now, some may choose to follow Christ because of your witness, but some, what we find, will also choose to persecute you. The church, the body of believers, cannot accept the things of the world. Amen? The world has become tolerant, self-centered. They have become immoral and materialistic. And sadly, we can see those same things creeping into churches today across America, all in the name of growth and in the name of evangelism. But in verse 13 and 14, it's very clear. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now, in the Greek language, the "you" there is written really as this. You are the only salt of the earth. You are the only light of the world. The truth of God's word is that since the fall of man, the world is corrupt. The world is dark and it's getting worse. Yes, technology might be getting better, and conveniences might be easier for us, but the world is decaying, including mankind. The fall of man is where it started. Then we saw the flood. We know of Sodom and Gomorrah. We go from one war to one greater war. Crime to greater crime. Immorality to greater immorality. From perversion to greater perversion. And down and down and down we go. That's the world. And it's getting worse. And every person on this earth will follow that same trend unless God's people, their witness, is salt to slow the corruption, is light to illuminate the darkness that they're in. Now remember the last beatitude in Matthew 5:10. "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness." Now here's the ironic thing about that. Those who are persecuting Christians, the very people that they're persecuting are their last hope. The very people that they are coming up against are their last hope in this world. The last hope that people have in this world is Jesus Christ. Amen? So again, I want you to see that the you are the salt. You are the only salt is also written in the Greek language as a plural form. Plural. It's not just an individual. Because as an individual, you can't do too much. As an individual grain of salt, you can't do a whole lot. As an individual light beam, you can't do a whole lot. The plural here is the church. You are the only salt to this earth. You are the only light to this earth. Now, if you take one grain of salt as an individual, it's not going to do much. But if we come together as salt, we can do great things for His kingdom. If you take one small beam of light, it can't be seen from very far away. But if you take all these beams of light of Christ and concentrate them for one purpose, then they can have a great effect and make a great difference. Let me give you a little background on salt. The Romans held that except for the sun, nothing was more valuable than salt. Roman soldiers were paid in salt. That's where you get the expression, "He's not worth his salt." That's where it originated from. Salt was also used in some ancient societies to mark friendship. If you ate salt with someone, even if they were your enemy, from that point on, you must be friends because you shared in a very valuable commodity, salt. Salt was used to bind a covenant, much like a contract is notarized today. And God even made a covenant of salt with David. In 2 Chronicles 13:5 on your outline, it says, "Do you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt?" So, to this multitude listening, Jesus' message about salt, they understood that salt was a valuable commodity. Now, we have to learn this. We have to learn this new because salt isn't that valuable to us. It's just on every table. If you spill it and it, you just blow it off on the floor, that's what I do. And then your wife has to vacuum. And then I say, "The kids have spilled salt." Jesus knew that they were to be extremely important function in the world. Just as important as salt was in that time. Number 4 on your outline. There are different thoughts on how we as salt are to affect the world. Different theologians have taken salt and tried to figure out, exactly what is the meaning here. That we are called to be the salt of the earth. Salt, is it their color? Is it salt's white color? Is it because it's pure? So we are to be the purity. We are to show the world our purity through Christ. Some say that it's salt's taste. That things without salt are drab. And so this world would also be drab unless Christians brought a better flavor to the place. Some people say that it's salt's sting that is what is being emphasized. That we are to sting the world with God's truth because God's truth does confront us. And then some say that it's salt as a preservative. Now here's what I want you to see. All those other things may be true, but salt as a preservative is the characteristic that Jesus is emphasizing in his message. Number 5. As the church, Christians are to be a preserving influence in the world. As a church, Christians are to be a preserving influence in the world. Christians are salt placed here by God in order to prevent the entire earth from falling away faster than it would without God's influence. Without God's influence, we would have started at the fall of man and we would have continued with no flood, and we would destroy ourselves. So the salt that God places here is us to slow down that process for those who would choose to follow Christ. So verse 13 says this, read along with me. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Now, in Jesus' time, a lot of salt was contaminated. It was actually repulsive. It was either, there was either no taste at all, or when you tasted it, it didn't taste like salt. And it was contaminated with other things, gypsum. Now, when a person found out that their batch of salt was contaminated, they had to throw it out. But they could not throw it out in a field or in a garden because nothing would ever grow again in that place. And you couldn't make contaminated salt salty again. It wasn't good for anything when it wasn't salty. When Jesus speaks of salt becoming tasteless, he is not speaking of a Christian losing their salvation. Be very clear on that. Rather, he is speaking of a Christian becoming contaminated or losing their effectiveness. Number 6 on your outline, when Christians compromise and follow the world's way, they become like the world and no longer like the salt that God called them to be. When they compromise, they become like the world, contaminated, heading down. They're no longer different like God had called them to be. There's some bullet points there. You cannot influence the world with God's purity if you yourself compromise your own purity. You cannot influence the world with God's purity if you yourself compromise your own purity. Next bullet point. You cannot sting the world with truth if you yourself ignore God's truth. And then the last one there. You cannot be a preserving influence on a sinful world if you yourself are corrupted by sin. That's the lesson here. That's what Jesus wants you to see. He points out that when salt is contaminated, when salt has lost its taste, it's not good for anything. So if you are called by God to be the salt of the earth because you have followed the Beatitudes and your heart has changed, then God is saying if you compromise, if you become tasteless, then you're useless. I can't use you. Christians that remain obedient do not become tasteless. They don't become, in the Greek language, foolish or useless for God's kingdom work. Let's talk a little bit about light. In verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Jesus' call is to be light. It's different from being salt. Salt can be hidden. Light is out there. It can be seen. Salt can be a matter of the heart, and light can be a matter of action, action that is seen. John reminds us in 1 John 1, 5 through 7, on your outlines, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not participate in the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The light of God is to live by. In Psalm 119, 105, your word is the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. The light of God is to walk by. The light of God is to live by. God's light is his word. God's light is the living word of Jesus Christ. So when we shine as a light, we are shining from the word of God that has been given to us. We are shining from the truth. And you have to understand that the truth is from Genesis to Revelation, it is the truth of Jesus Christ. And that's why we shine. Because without the light of Christ, we are in darkness. When the world sees the hope in Christ, when the world sees the hope in Christ that we have, it's because of the hope that has reflected from His Word in our lives. And it's from the hope that we have in the teaching and the understanding of His Word. You have to be taught God's Word, and you have to begin to understand it to even shine, because it's the truth of Jesus Christ. So you see, if a pastor is not teaching God's Word with understanding, then how can the body of Christ shine for the world to see? Do you see how important it is that you hold the pastor accountable, because you have a great responsibility that comes after a changed heart? But that light that's going to shine is only going to shine when you come to an understanding of God's Word, and it's done through teaching. God sheds His light on the world through those who have received His light through Jesus Christ. I have said many times that most people fall in love with Christians way before they fall in love with Jesus Christ. They fall in love with Christians because they want to be a part of, what do you have? Look at how different you are. They see that salt. They see the difference in you. They see the light of Christ in you. They want to know what's different. And then they want to know about Jesus, because that's your testimony to them. And the only place they're going to find out about Jesus is through your testimony and through the Word of God. That's why teaching and your own personal Bible reading and study time are going to be so important. Here is a very real warning from Jesus. Here's a very real warning from God's Word. Most of you probably own a Bible. You own this. So you have the light. You have the light of God. The question is do you live by it? It's one thing to own a book and to set it down. It's a whole nother thing to have light and to let it shine through you. And the only way you're going to do that is by understanding and reading His Word. By definition, light is only light if it can be seen. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hillside cannot be hidden. Now, a city must have light in the darkness in order to survive. Therefore, a thriving, healthy city set on a hill can be seen because of its light. Same thing, Christian. A Christian can be seen because if it's healthy, it's shining bright and can be seen from far off. And you know it. You know people in this room. You've known Christians that have shared Christ to you, and they walk into a room and you go, man, there's something different about that person. And you give them the benefit of the doubt. I wonder if they're a Christian. Because you've seen that light shine. And it's touched your life. 15. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Number 7. A secret Christian is a hidden light and absolutely useless. A Christian is to be seen by the world as if they were a city on the top of a hill. people can see your light from far off. A lot of times people think, you know, I'm a Christian, and I do all this, and nobody knows I'm a Christian. They know. They know because you are different than this world. God did not give the gospel of Christ to be hidden. The truth, the light, the word is for the whole world to see, and they're going to see it through your witness. I was sharing with my daughters about the confrontation, I called it, at the haircut place. And I remember my daughters going, wasn't that scary? Well, you know, I guess it would be scary if you were a Christian and you didn't have an answer. Now, these people all went to church, and it truly was just a test. You know, they were kind of like, hey, if you're going to walk in this door and we're going to find out that you're a pastor, we want to know if you believe in our Jesus Christ. It's a test. Can you imagine? I mean, it'd be bad enough as a Christian, but can you imagine walking in as a pastor and somebody saying, hey, this was her first question. So I don't necessarily like church or Christians. How can you lead me to Christ? That was her first question. My first response was, oh dear God. No, that wasn't it. My first response was, I smiled, and that quick prayer was, God, give me the right words. Is she a Christian? Or is she against Christ? And you still had to have the same answer. And then the next questions. Tell me how you are going to lead someone to Christ and save them because they are against Christ. My answer to her first was, you know what? God didn't give me the burden of saving anybody. I don't have to save them. I'm to be a witness to them. I'm going to be a witness to them, to share with them how God's changed my life. I can't save them. I can pray for them. I don't get angry if they're maybe close friends and I really want them to know Christ, but I can't get angry with them. It draws me to compassion and to pray for them. You know what her response was? Amen. What church do you go to? So she got a card. So if she ever comes, I'll introduce you to her. But she does go to church, and I knew who her pastor was. But that was a great lesson. I mean, what are you going to do, Christian? What are you going to do if somebody wants to see your light? Because the next time that somebody asks you, they might not know Christ. And their response is, that's why I'm not a Christian, because Christians don't know what they believe. How do you hide your light? Fear of offending others, so you don't share the truth. Compromising your beliefs to please others. Compromising your beliefs to please yourself. Do you hide your light because of a lack of love for someone? Oh my. Do you hide your light because of a lack of sympathy or a lack of interest? We let the light shine on Sundays here in church because there's light all around us. But how many of us, the rest of the week, don't shine at all because it's all about business? We just need to get the job done. Business comes first, not in a Christian life. 15. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. There is an important lesson for us in this verse. If the light of God is lifted up, that's on a lampstand, okay, in the center of the house, first, what house is it? First, in the house of God. If God's light is lifted up in the middle of His house for all to see in the center of His house, it is His Word. His word must be the center of his house to shine on you. Second, if that light is to shine in the middle of the house, then it is to be the house of your family, your home. God's word is to be the truth that gives light to all those who are in the house or visit the house. We are to act in obedience to God's word. We are to use God's word as a standard of living. We are to hold each other accountable by the truth that we find in God's word. 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now let me define the word good here in this verse. It does not mean good as in good quality, but rather it means attractive or beautiful in appearance. Letting your light shine before men allows them to see the beauty of the Lord in you. When the dark world sees the light in you, they see the light of Christ. They see the beauty of the Lord. They see the beauty of Christ in all that you do. It's like those things where when you do something and somebody gives you praise, and you say, you know what, all the glory goes to God. Because it's not your light. It's His. Will you let the light of the Lord shine through you? Or the truth is, will you hide it? That's what the verse is saying. Will you let the light shine, or are you going to hide it? We have one right in this world, and that's to be pleasing to the Lord. We reveal the light of the Lord in order to bring attention and praise to God, not to ourselves. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Him. Many others see God in all that we do and all that we say. And when they see that, may we say, God, you get the glory. And may they glorify our Father who is in heaven. There's a story about Woodrow Wilson, our 28th president, who was born in Staunton, Virginia, in 1856. Woodrow Wilson tells the story of being in a barbershop. And he says this, quote, "I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room. A man had come quietly in upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut, and he sat in the chair next to me. Every word the man uttered, though it was not in the least didactic, it wasn't a lecture, it wasn't instruction, showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware I had attended an evangelistic service because D.L. Moody was in that chair. I purposely lingered in the room after he had left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon that barbershop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name, but they knew something had elevated their thoughts. And I felt that I left that place as I should have left a place of worship." Close quote. You are the only salt of the earth. You are the only light of the world. Will you leave a mark on this world? Will others see the light of Christ in you? When you walk into a room, will they know who you are? Will they know who sent you? Will they know who you stand for? Because you're the world's last hope. And you have been placed here by God. And in obedience, you have a great responsibility. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can hear your command to us, what we are to be. Father, may we be that salt, may we be that light, your salt, your light. Father, may we recognize the great responsibility, and through obedience, Father, may people around us, young Christian, mature Christian, or unbeliever, may they see you in us. May we share that hope, the hope that we know, which is Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word and your message. We thank you that Jesus Christ himself can share this sermon to us and watch us grow, watch us change, and watch us reach out to a lost world. Father, thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.